Hello and welcome to UK Perspectives here on WUKY Radio. I'm Carl Nathy, filling in for Tom Goodell on this week's edition. Today we have the privilege and pleasure of talking with the renowned actor, humanitarian, and philanthropist, Mr. Danny Glover. Danny will be in Lexington this Monday, January 18th, as the University of Kentucky and the City of Lexington commemorate and celebrate the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday with several special events downtown. And first of all, Danny, thanks for joining us. It's a real privilege to be able to talk with you.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to come to Lexington as well.
Now, a lot of people know of you as an actor, a very successful movie career. You've long been one of the favorites. And I guess box office-wise, the Lethal Weapon series was wildly popular. But you've taken on a number of different movie roles, and many of them have been well-documented, challenging roles. The Color Purple, Silverado, Angels in the Outfield. Do you have a favorite role that you played through the years?
Well, the role that often will always resonate with me, not often, but always resonates with me, is the role, my first major role. And that's the role I played as Mose in Places in the Heart with Sally Fields in 1983. And my work in that film is dedicated to my mom, my extraordinary mother, and it's certainly a great deal of certainly the images that I hopefully were able to recapture within the film were images of my grandfather, who would have been about the same age as the character in the Depression as well.
Very good. Very good. I wanted to ask you, as far as Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he became a big influence in your life at a rather early age. Am I right?
Well, the first images of Dr. King were when I was very, very young. And understand that when you, at a young age, you're not only trying to interpret what you see in front of you, say, with this relatively new invention called the television, but you're also able to contextualize that within the framework surreptitiously, within the framework of how your parents approached the moment. And the way in which my parents approached that moment and celebrate that moment that was happening with the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955, even though I was like 8 years old, I was 9 years old. Even that had an enormous impact on me. And the first images when I saw that were, who are these people? And when I realized who they were, I realized that I wanted to be like them. Mm-hmm. And those were the beginning of my early understanding of the civil rights movement, you know. And as it progressed on, the engagement of young people who were not too much older than me in the 60s, with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or CORE, or other groups that were part of that youth movement and youth energizement of the civil rights movement. All those things had an enormous impact on me at a very early age.
And it made the impact. You continued. You started making an impact of your own as you grew up, and then in college, you became really very active in civil rights at San Francisco State University. Tell us a little about that.
I was part of a moment for students around the country, not only black students, but Hispanic students, Asian students, and progressive white students as well. Whether we talk about the Students for Democratic, SDS, Students for Democratic Society, whatever we were talking about, we were all engaged at that particular moment. It was our moment, not only around the country, but other places in the world, students in Paris, students in Mexico, all around the world, you found this uprising of students. And at San Francisco State, a liberal college, a teacher's college, in a very progressive city, there were some extraordinary things that happened. One of those things was the strike student strike of 1968-69, where the students went out on strike, along with the support of faculty and community, and the strike itself lasted 5 months. What culminated was out of that strike was the establishment of the first and only School of Ethnic Studies at any university in this country. Mm-hmm. And that School of Ethnic Studies right now is in its 46th year. It is just celebrated at the end of last year, its 46th anniversary.
That's outstanding.
So I was a part of that. Mm-hmm. Not only simply as a part of as students, but as active students, as activists, what we were also a part of was the whole idea that we could be the architects of this idea of a School of Ethnic Studies. That the students themselves were very much a participant in the organizing of it, not simply just on strike, shutting down the campus, but the conceptualization of it, the imagination around it, the creation of classes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was an important part of my own maturation and my own growth as I matured and then essentially after college went on to do other things. I worked in the city, the Office of Community Development and the Model Cities Program out of the mayor's office in San Francisco from 1971 through 1977. So all of these things were things that enriched my own life, but enriched my sense of what it meant to be a citizen as well.
You're coming to Lexington, Martin Luther King Day, on Monday, January 18th. If I understand, you're going to be giving a short one-man performance, but then also going to be interviewed by Ann Grundy, kind of a one-to-one or one-on-one interview, and maybe modeled after something like Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton. What about Lexington? What's your message to the folks who hear this and who want to come out and hear you on Monday?
Well, I think one of the things is we move further in the 21st century and we deal with the obvious issues. And the obvious issues are issues that are programmed in our own consciousness through the media the media outlets that exist. What are some of the other issues that we have to talk about? Certainly, one of the issues that's going to be prominent in this year's next year's election is the issue, the discussion about inequality in this country. It not only exists in this country; it exists in the world itself. The issues around wealth accumulation, the issues around global warming and climate change, the issues around the proliferation of arms, the issues around the one issue that this country has dealt with from this outset, the issues around race. Those are kind of issues that we're going to have to talk about. Issues around mass incarceration, which is also going to be on the agenda of the discussion, as evident with some of the early discussions and around Black Lives Matter and the Dream Defenders and the Color of Change. All of these are going to be prominent issues. How do we create sustainable activism? It's a term that I gathered from a great, great friend of mine who died at 100 years old and 100 days, Grace Lee Boggs, an extraordinary woman of Chinese descent and working in the community in Detroit from the early 50s until she took her last breath. So I think those are kind of the issues that certainly some of the things that I want to kind of spark not only the conversation, but also the excitement or the energy of the crowd or the audience that I have, and to talk about how do we create our own narrative. And I use the word narrative because the use of a narrative, in some sense, is the underlining force in which ideas are generated and sustained, maintained, evolve the narrative? What is the narrative of this 21st century America? And what does that have? Is that a narrative fit within the context of our past, our present, and what we expected in the future?
Talking with Danny Glover here on UK Perspectives. Danny will be in Lexington, downtown Lexington, Monday, January 18th. The Freedom March is at 10 a.m. It starts at Heritage Hall with the lineup shortly after 9. The special program featuring our honored guest, Mr. Glover, will be at 11 in Heritage Hall. And the program also features live musical performances by Miss Kentucky Clark Davis. And then at 2:30, the Kentucky Theater presents the film Mandela, Long Road to Freedom. All events are free, sponsored by UK Lexington, One World Films, and other community partners. Mr. Glover, it has been a pleasure. My last question for you, because obviously you've been active in many, many causes. How has your life as a human being, as an American citizen, influenced your acting career, and how has that played out for you? Has it helped inform your acting? You spoke of some of your experiences earlier.
Well, of course. You know, I consider my... all of my experiences are unique, you know, and when you, I live in a city, a city that I love and loved for all my life, all the time that I can remember, in San Francisco, California, born and raised there. I had the distinct advantage of having extraordinary parents. My mother and father, Carrie Glover, James Glover. And the one gift that my mother gave to us was not simply being a wonderful mother, but also the gift of her family. And that extended family reaches right in the deep South. In Louisville, Georgia, where I spent time and continue to spend time. I was just down to see some of my mother's cousins who in their mid and late 90s down in Georgia just last month in December. And I had the distinct pleasure and honor to be around my grandparents who both lived to be 99. But one moment when I was down there, from the time I was 6 months to most of the time that until I was about 3. I remember an old woman who was my grandfather's mother, my maternal grandfather's mother, who was born in 1853. She was freed by the Emancipation Proclamation. So my memory, or the extension of how I see myself in the world, extends from that woman named Mary Brown. And I have the distinct honor of not only representing not only all that I try to represent, but also represent her and that lineage that I'm a part of.
Well, Mr. Glover.
And so that's me in that sense. So it influences everything. Somebody asked me, my role, I said, places in the heart, where I tried to channel my grandfather. Everything in my life is accessible and usable for how I developed as an artist, how I hope to develop as a artist, a human being, a father, a grandfather, and everything else.
Well, Danny Glover, it has been a real pleasure and an honor to talk with you. We look forward to seeing you on Monday here in Lexington. Safe travels, and Martin Luther King Jr. holiday commemoration and celebration here in Lexington, and we're looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, our thanks again to actor and humanitarian Danny Glover, who will be here in Lexington on Monday, January the 18th. It's the Martin Luther King holiday, and it's the annual celebration and commemoration sponsored by the University of Kentucky and Lexington. It starts at 10 a.m. with the Freedom March. from Heritage Hall in downtown Lexington. The lineup for that march begins shortly after 9. The special program featuring Danny Glover is at 11 in Heritage Hall. And also on the program, live musical performances by Miss Kentucky Clark Davis. Then at 2:30 on Monday, you can join us at the Kentucky Theater to see the film Mandela, Long Road to Freedom. All events are free. Again, sponsored by UK, Lexington, One World Films, and other community partners. For more, you can visit uky.edu/MLK. This has been UK Perspectives. For Tom Goodell, I'm Carl Nathie.